The village of Jevoli, wedged into the cliff face on the highest plateau of a moderately sized mountain in central Calabria, was never very large. When Stella Fortuna was a little girl, in the days when Jevoli was at its most robust, there were only 600 inhabitants crowding into the abutting stone cottages. But when I tell you Stella Fortuna was a special girl, I hope you aren't thinking small town special. Other people would underestimate Stella Fortuna during her long life, and not one of them didn't end up regretting it. First, there was her name, which no lesser woman could have stood up to. She'd been named after her grandmother, which was proper, but still. Stella and Fortuna. Star luck. Or maybe even lucky star. What a terrifying thing to call a little girl. There's no better way to bring down the evil eye than to brag about your good fortune. A name like Stella Fortuna was just asking for trouble. And whether or not you believe in the evil eye, you have to admit Stella had plenty of trouble. "I've gotten out of plenty of trouble too," Stella would often remind her mother, Assunta. Assunta was a great worrywart, if not a great disciplinarian. Yes, Stella Fortuna stuck out, and not only for her name. There were also her looks. At 16, when she left Jevoli to go to America, Stella Fortuna was the most beautiful girl in the village. She had grand breasts that trembled when she laughed and jounced hypnotically when she tramped down the steep mountain road that cut through the village center. Stella had inherited these breasts from her mother. Her younger sister, Chetina, had been less successful in the heredity department and acquired only her mother's derriere, which, it should be said, was nothing to sneeze at. Stella had clear, tanned cheeks as smooth as olives, and her pursed lips looked as pink and yielding as the fleshy insides of a ripe fig. Essentially, Stella was a fruit salad of Jevolitan male desires. She had her scars, it's true. The crescent cut into her brow and the stitch marks up her arms. But scars became alluring when you know where they came from. And in a village the size of Jevoli, everyone knows everything. Stella was effortlessly provocative and categorically unaccommodating. When she stepped into the street for the evening stroll, the chiazza fell silent, breathtaking. But Stella Fortuna didn't notice or care. The soft curves of her figure distracted ambitious men and boys from the ruthlessness of her dark eyes, and she cut down and made fools out of the unwise. Stella's desirability mattered little to Stella herself. She'd already decided she would never marry and didn't care to use her looks to attract suitors. She scandalized good, obedient Chetina with her rough treatment of the hopefuls. Later, the sisters would spend 30 years locked in a blood feud. It's true. But no one in the world saw that coming. And when they were girls, they were the best of friends. Prospective suitors approached them together because they were always together. Stella wasn't exactly vain about her appearance. She had never even seen her reflection in a mirror. But it did give her great satisfaction to know she was the prettiest. Stella liked power. And her charisma was one of the greatest powers available to her. One of the few powers a young woman in a southern Italian village could possibly wield in these years between the wars. Third, she had natural smarts. Stella liked to be the best, and she was the best at most things. She was the best needlewoman in the village. Her silkworms produced the most silk, and she could shuck the most chestnuts during a harvest day's piecework at Don Mancuso's orchards. She was quick with numbers and could make combinations in her mind. Her memory was keen and she never lost an argument because she could always quote back what her opponent said better than they could themselves. She was gentle with animals, and even the damn hens laid more eggs when she was the one to feed them in the morning.